So as we always do on Your Calls Media Roundtable, we start off on a positive note and highlight journalism that really stood out for all of you this week. So, Tim Redmond, let's start off with you. What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, I'm going to step away from the budget for a second and talk about local coverage. I thought that Josh Sabatini's article in the San Francisco Examiner yesterday, where he traces dubious campaign contributions to the mayor from a company that later got a city contract, and connects this to two people who were involved in a $10,000 bribe. This, of course, all goes back to the Shrimp Boy case and the FBI investigation. And I think the way that Josh explained a very, very complicated story. His lead says, the pair who allegedly solicited, with Mayor Ed Lee's knowledge, a $10,000 bribe to help retire his campaign debt, also arranged $1,500 in campaign contributions with an employee of a lumber company that later received a city contract. And they did this by doing kind of old-fashioned investigative reporting. They went and got the documents, and they got the emails under the Sunshine Ordinance, and they traced where this money came from. And it reflects on what many call the pay-to-play politics of the Ed Lee administration. So I think they did a real good job with that.
Has the Ed Lee administration responded?
Oh, of course. They say that everything they did was perfectly legal.
Okay. And so then from there, as a journalist, what do you do?
Well, I think what we've seen in San Francisco is a pattern of these stories where little bit by little bit you're seeing pieces of, you can't call it corruption if nobody's proven lawbreaking, but a pattern of people who give money getting favors, and of insiders and outsiders in the administration. And so I think this is just this is the kind of story that journalists need to be pursuing every day on a regular basis, because it's not like many times, it's not the one contribution. It's not the one $1,500 contribution from the lumber company that then gets a city contract that shows what's going on. It's the pattern of 20 of them or 30 of them or 40 of them. And so I think that people just have to continue to pursue this and not look at it as say, and a lot of times it's easy for journalists to say, oh, it's only one contribution. Oh, it's only this much money. Oh, it's not that big a deal, and let it go. When in fact, if we keep looking at this stuff piece by piece by piece, you get a pattern.
Right. And then, but in order to do that, you need a beat reporter who specifically follows these issues.
You need a beat
right?
reporter who follows this, and you need time. I mean, the thing about even straightforward investigative reporting is it takes time. We're all under so much pressure in the media these days to fill the paper and the Examiner's got a very, very small staff. The Chronicle staff is way smaller than it used to be. Everyone's had layoffs. And so it's the challenge to convince management that it's worth taking, even in some cases, a day. In some cases, all it takes is a day, 12 hours, 16 hours to pursue a story that's not going to be necessarily tomorrow's lead story, but in 3 days, it's going to be a much bigger story. So that's one of the challenges we face right now, is just finding the time to do this.
And just quickly, Tim, since you gave kudos to Josh Sabatini with the San Francisco Examiner, what do you think of the Examiner these days?
Well, I think that they're doing a really good job with a small staff. I think they've really improved their coverage. They've got a lot of excellent young reporters. And, the challenge is, they have a small paper with small space and a small staff, and that's a fight that we're all having right now.
Yep, and the Examiner is free. You can find it.
You can find it. Yeah,
and a box on the corner.
You can find it in a box on the corner.
Yeah.
And the other thing about the Examiner that I think they've done the right thing is they only focus local. Mm. The Cron still tries to fill a lot of its pages with national and international news, and the problem with that is people don't look to the Chronicle for that. People look to the San Francisco. These days, there's so much national and international news on the internet. If you want to know what's going on elsewhere in the world, you don't go to the San Francisco Chronicle. So I actually think that all of those resources would be better put. You go from page 3 to page 12, whatever, in the Chronicle, and it's basically AP and New York Times reports from somewhere else in the world or somewhere else in the country. No one reads that in the Chronicle. I think those pages and that space would be better put to use doing more local investigative reporting, because that's what you get from a local paper.
Yeah. Tim Redmond is founder and editor of 48 Hills, an online nonprofit San Francisco Progressive Daily, and former editor of The Bay Guardian. And what about you, Gail Holland? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Our superb columnist, Steve Lopez, who wrote the book that was the basis for the movie The Soloist, about his friendship with a homeless musician and how he got him off the streets after decades. He wrote, I thought, an astonishing column during our first big El Nino storm. He went out to a extremely developed encampment where the guy had a double bed and a dresser and all this under a freeway overpass, and was there when the waters actually rose and carried the guy's camp away. And to me, it was a very beautiful story, and it was also was almost like a biblical parable of what happens when we haven't dealt with this problem and a natural disaster, or it's not even a disaster, it's just a weather condition, El Nino strikes. People had been writing about this for weeks, like worrying about what was going to happen, and here was such a great illustration of exactly what's going to happen. Mm.
You have also written about, you wrote a piece about a homeless woman who died of exposure on a Skid Row sidewalk during the El Nino storm, and we'll talk about that later in the show. Do you know what happened to that man that Steve Lopez wrote about?
I believe he, as happens every time, he just relocated and... within, you know, one of the big issues here has been clearing people's things, but the camps, they just reappear and repopulate with furniture and this kind of thing because there's a lot of people that go around donating this kind of thing because out of humanitarian concerns, because when you think about it, people who are stuck in the street, they can't just walk around for 12 hours. I actually tried it once.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're definitely going to talk about that later in the show because we are seeing as kind of a smallish tent city. Definitely does not compare to Skid Row, but we're seeing so many tents now on Division Street in San Francisco, and I've never seen so many tents there before. So we'll talk about that on today's show. That's Gail Holland. She's an award-winning journalist and staff writer with the LA Times, and she covers homelessness and poverty. The city of Los Angeles recently issued a state of emergency on homelessness. And what about you, Philip Reese? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, just before you called, I was reading an article by Max Rosenthal for Mother Jones. He wrote about how the Pentagon doesn't know how many weapons it's lost to the Islamic State. Did some pretty deep and good reporting on that issue and pointed out that the Iraqi government does not have a database of any sort keeping track of weapons, and because of that, there's great suspicion that a lot of these weapons are winding up in the wrong hands. But no one knows exactly how deep the problem is.
And is anyone doing anything about this?
Well, besides, writing Inspector General reports and saying that there's a real problem, it does not look like there's a whole lot being done. There's a few Pentagon spokespeople quoted saying that, it almost seems like... They're not saying much with their quotes, but it's there's not a whole lot of reaction and not a whole lot of sense of urgency, that at least in this report.
And also, Congress is currently looking at billions of dollars wasted in Afghanistan, but that's just a never-ending story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. So thank you. Kudos to Max Rosenthal of Mother Jones, and that is Philip Reese. He's an award-winning journalist and staff writer for the Sacramento Bee, and we will put links to all of these stories at yourcallradio.org.